Hey, good morning, church. Let me try that again. Good morning, church. Do me a favor, as you're sitting down, look at a neighbor and say, I am glad that you are here. Now, as you're sitting down, say to somebody, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about that. That's right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'm one of the pastors here at Royal Oak First United Methodist Church, and I want to welcome all of you here to worship with us today. As we've just said to each other, we are glad. We're glad you're here. There's lots of places you could be right now, but the fact that you made it here today is important to us. And if just one of you wasn't here, this place wouldn't be the same. You're special, and your presence here today makes this place special. So thank you for getting here today. And if you don't hear anything else that we say through all the words we're going to say today, let's make it loud and clear. God loves you, and there's nothing, 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 nothing that you can do about that. So welcome. Amen is right. So welcome into that space and into that spirit, friends. Army, one of our members, has something really important she wants to invite us to. Would you welcome Lori?
Hello.
She's nervous too.
I am nervous. As I look at our congregation, I'm aware that every one of you is a hero. You are heroes for serving God in our community and for raising or having raised your family in Christian faith. On April 29th, the organization that I work for is honoring a unique group of heroes. I work for Excel Employment Options, and we are hosting a 5K walk and run to support career development services for individuals who have disabilities. Our job seekers are heroes for their determination to find meaningful employment in a world that only wants workers who are fast-paced and multitaskers. We hope our event will not only provide funding to support our job coaches and new autism program, but also raise awareness of a population of skilled workers who are being overlooked. Last year, Excel helped over 400 individuals enjoy a more fulfilling life experience through volunteering or employment. We helped Carol, who now works at Plato's Closet, and Cole, who works at the Loop Apartment Complex, and Jonathan, who works at the Imagine Theater, and Matthew, who works at Mobile Dentist, and Adam, who works at Crispelli's Pizzeria, and Julius, who works at Holiday Market. Just to name a few, I decided I wouldn't list all 400 names. With your help, I know that we can help many more people. Come to our Superhero 5K on April 29th at Kensington Metro Park to help us better the futures for people who have disabilities. Registration starts at 7 a.m. Come see me for a flyer. Before I close, there is one truly superhero, you can take that, that is offered to be at our event. Thank you, Jeff.
Oh my gosh.
I thought he needed a superhero shirt.
Check out my abs. I was going to go as Captain Underpants, though.
Well, that's always an option.
That's always an option, she says. Friends, thank Lori for her hard work. Let's go help make sure you all got here in the life of the church. Welcome.
Repeat after me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. And deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. For the kingdom and the power. And now and forever. Now. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from Isaiah 58, 6 through 11. Isn't this the fast I choose, releasing wicked restraints, untying the ropes of a yoke, setting free the mistreated and breaking every yoke? Isn't it sharing your bread with the hungry and bringing the homeless poor into your house, covering the naked when you see them and not hiding from your own family? Then your light will break out like the dawn and you will be healed quickly. Your own righteousness will walk before you and the Lord's glory will guard your heart. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and God will say, I'm here. If you remove the yoke from among you, the finger pointing, the wicked speech, if you open your heart to the hungry and provide abundantly for those who are afflicted, your light will shine in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noon. The Lord will guide you continually and provide for you, even in parched places. He will rescue your bones. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water that won't run dry. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'll let you in on a little secret this morning. Our text tells us something that we might not always want to hear. That God isn't all that interested in worship. Thank you, Jesus, for sending me up here to tell them that today. I can tell by the looks on their face that is a very well-worn thing. Did the pastor just say that right? That God isn't all that interested in worship? Does God get a little bored with our worship and get a little tired of it? Did I hear him right up there? Is something wrong with preacher this morning? What is going on that he's up here saying God isn't all that interested in worship, for goodness sakes? It's God, for God's sake. And if we don't worship God, then what do we do? What do we do? What is he talking about? Too far, I tell you. Today, he's pushed it just a little too far. Imagine a God that's not all that interested in being worshiped. It's very strange for me to stand up here and say that, because I tell you, there's nothing that I have spent more time doing this week than preparing for worship. There is more resources that go into producing a weekend's worth of worship than any other resources in the life of the church. In fact, look at all of the hands on deck today that help go into making this worship happen. And preacher, if you're going to stand up here and start this sermon out by saying God isn't all that interested in this, then you got some explaining to do, preacher. Well, let the scripture do a little of the explaining for us this morning. Hear these words from Isaiah. Stop it. Stop bringing all these worthless offerings to me. Your incense repulses me. New moon, Sabbath, the calling of the assembly. I get bored with all of your festivals. When you extend your hands I'll hide my eyes from you, and I'm the hand extender. Even when you pray for a long time, I won't listen. Put an end to all of this. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Or as Amos, another prophet, would say it in the 5th chapter of his text, he says, I reject your festivals. I don't enjoy your joyous celebrations. If you bring me another offering, I won't be pleased. I don't even look on your offerings at all. Take away the noise of your songs. I don't even like the ones that on the harp. I don't even like the sweet, sappy stuff, Caleb. I know. But let justice roll down like a river, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Take stock of what the prophets tell us that God has to say sometimes about how we worship. God says, stop bringing worthless offerings into me. I have no use for them. Stop it with all your cute little ceremonies and rituals and services and special holidays. They've become burdensome to me. He says, even your prayers, I can't bear to hear them any longer. I don't enjoy your joyous assemblies. I don't even listen to your music. Again, this is pretty troubling. And when I hear all of this, it leaves me remembering this guy. Remember him? Right? What you talking about, preacher? What are you talking about? God doesn't like our worship? 52 weeks a year. We produce worship. In fact, starting next Saturday during Holy Week, we will do 10 worship services in 8 days. And Pastor, if you're saying this isn't of any interest to God, then what on earth are we doing here? You've got some explaining to do, preacher. What you talking about? Let's look again at the scriptures today. We listen to the prophet Isaiah. Remember who the prophets are. The prophets are the one who deliver a message from God. And often that message is one that is not quite what we expect God to say. And let's just be honest, we only like dead prophets. The living ones in our midst, we're never quite sure what to do with. So Isaiah, some 2,000, 4,000, 5,000, however many years ago he was speaking. Josh, how many years ago was he doing that? 3,000 years. Josh is my biblical expert in town. He hates it when I do that to him, so I'll stop it right now, right? About 3,000 years ago, Isaiah is looking out at the worship landscape, and he sees all of these big worship extravaganzas going on. Everybody's praising God, but he looks around at the activity going on outside of the temple, and all he sees is poor and hungry people. So Isaiah steps into that mix and says, the worship that you're doing inside the temple isn't making any difference outside the temple. And frankly, God isn't all that interested if what you're doing inside the temple isn't making any difference on what's going on outside the temple. So he goes on to say, this is the kind of worship that matters to God. If you want to do a worship that matters to God, then at the end of it, people should want to feed hungry people. When you're done with worship, if homeless people are moved, if people are moved to help homeless people get shelter, then that's the kind of worship I'm interested in. If worship leads to breaking the chains of oppression and addiction, then that's the kind of worship I'm interested in. If it offers kindness to strangers, then that's the kind of worship God is interested in. It's the kind of worship God finds interesting, acceptable, and pleasing. Isaiah puts it plain and simple, your rituals better lead to righteousness. Your rituals better lead to justice. Listen to what the scriptures say. When worship is over, justice ought to flow like a fountain, and righteousness like an ever-flowing river. When you're done with worship, the oppressed ought to feel more free. When you're done with worship, hungry people ought to have food.
And homeless people ought to be able to find shelter. That's the kind of worship I'm interested in, says the prophet. Ritual must lead to righteousness, and sometimes that's hard for us to take in, because if you've been like me and raised in the church your whole life, then worship is what we do. And I spent most of my developmental years believing that worship was about getting me from earth into heaven. That was the only need of worship, was to get me from earth into heaven. And here comes the prophet and says, worship is about getting heaven into earth. Worship is about getting heaven into earth. The prophet comes along and says, guess what? Worship is not about us. And this radical thing, the prophet even says, worship isn't even about God. Worship is about the world and the transformation of it. And if what we do in here doesn't make any sense out there, then God says, forget it. Thanks, Phil. I was looking for my word there. But I have come to believe, as I listen to you, that that's why you're here. You're here hoping and praying and trusting that somehow, in some way, what we do here, even if it's just a little bit, is going to change the world out there. You're hoping and praying that something we do here today will trigger some sort of miracle out there. You're hoping and praying that something gets inside of us this week so that when we leave here on Sunday, Monday is different. I know that's why you come. Hoping and praying and trusting that somehow, some way, the world will be just a little different than it is because we gathered here today. For the last 6 weeks, we have been focusing on this whole idea of listening, of praying in a noisy world. We came into Lent saying this has been a hectic season in the life of our church. It's been a noisy season in the life of our culture, and we needed to slow down and listen more intently to what God was saying. Each week during this Lenten season, we have set aside time as a community to slow down and take on new prayer practices. We walked the labyrinth. We opened our scripture and did Lectio Divina and waited for the voice to emerge from the word. You guys did Taze worship here last Tuesday, and some of you were quiet for 13 and a half minutes. It was a miracle. This whole Lenten season has been designed to give you space to connect more with God. But at the end of Lent, if all we've done is helped you connect with God, we haven't finished the story. And then I have failed you as your pastor. My hope is that you connect more deeply with God and in prayer and in worship so that you are compelled to leave here with the change that's happening inside of you to go out and change the world around you. My hope is that you will get so moved by the change that is happening within you that you will be compelled to go out and change the world that is around you. And that's why we worship the way we worship here at Royal Oak First. That's why we have this messy worship space. That's why I'm always cluttering up the sacred space with underwear. Who is this pastor who keeps bringing underwear into our worship service? I mean, we got underwear and personal hygiene items and baby clothes and pillows and socks and all this stuff in the midst of our sacred space. We collect it here in worship so that it can get out of here and make a difference in the world. You know why we did that Rudder Requiem up here a couple of weeks ago? Wasn't it amazing? We put in all this time and all this resources, full orchestra, 45-member choir, singing that amazing choral piece. We didn't sing it here so that it would end here. Because the most important singing of it didn't happen here. It happened last Sunday when this choir left this sanctuary and went up to Woodward Hills and sang that beautiful classical oratory, 45 minutes long, for 35 people at the nursing home. That's why we did it here. So that I could leave here and make a difference there. And I heard from those of you that went and performed the concert there, it was the concert of a lifetime.
I guess there was one lady right there in the front row in her wheelchair that every time you got done with one of the movements, she just went, yippee! Yahoo! Because you brought heaven to earth. The people who wonder if the world has completely forgotten them, you went and brought church there. That's why we did it here, is so that you could go and do it there. At the end of worship, it's my hope that you will be inspired to throw birthday parties for kids at the Methodist Children's Home. It's my hope that when we get done with worship here, you will volunteer to help serve food at our bag lunch program. It's my hope when we get done with worship here, you will be inspired to say, I want to open up a beauty salon during the bag lunch program. We're going to call it Saints and Scissors. Isn't that good? I saw that on Lori's Facebook. Saints and Scissors, baby, right? Saints and Scissors, the Grace Cut Salon. Everything we do here is to prepare us to live life out there. So I'm going to ask you this week to come and live your prayer with us. This Thursday, it's spring break. I don't know what you're doing for spring break. Some of you got kids around your house this week you're not sure what to do with over spring break. I'm going to Cleveland for 3 days. Only Detroiters spring break in Cleveland, man. That's right. We're going to Cleveland for the lights, baby. Right? You know? But we're coming back Wednesday so that we can join you in coming and helping us do a day of service at Cass Social Services in it's not in downtown Detroit, but in Detroit. We're going to gather here at 9:30 on Thursday. All you got to do is bring yourself in a bag lunch. We're going to go down and we're going to do whatever they need us to do. Some of us will probably work in the kitchen preparing a meal. Some of us will probably clean up around the shelter. Some of us will do whatever it is they need us to do. Some of us might get to play with kids. I learned a couple of years ago that, you know, the worst place to be on spring break is in a homeless shelter. Because those kids got nowhere to go. And they got nothing to do. So maybe that day some of us will get to play video games or hang out or draw, do colors or do crafts with the kids who got nowhere else to go that day. So if you're around this Thursday, come meet me here at 9:30 because we're going to go live our prayer. 9:30 to 2:30, all you got to do is bring yourself in to lunch. We take kids as young as 8, and we'd just be grateful to have you come and help us live our prayer. So what's this all about, preacher? I think it's about this. I'm a football fan, have been my whole life. What you begin to realize about football is that every couple of minutes, the team gets together and gets into a huddle. But here's the deal, 80,000 people don't cram into Ford Field in order to watch the team huddle. They come to see if the huddle makes any difference. And for the Lions, it ain't been making much difference. The world looks at the Christians and go, man, they got a great huddle. But does that huddle make any difference? See, we come here today to call the play. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked, release the oppressed, welcome the stranger, show kindness to all. So that when we break from our huddle, we can go out into the world and we can play the game that brings heaven a little closer to earth. And people would say, I don't know, but I want to be a part of that. And so when we invite them to the huddle, it makes a whole lot more sense of what's going on. Everything we do here on Sunday is practice for what we're going to do come Monday through Saturday. And no practice is more greater than that, than this ritual called Holy Communion, which at the end of the day ought to teach us everything we need to know about righteous living. Because you see, in a minute, I'm going to invite you to this table. And here's the deal. This table is open to everyone. All are welcome. And when we say all are welcome, we mean all means all. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've been through. Doesn't matter your race, country, color, creed, your orientation, your economics, your background. This table's open to you today. And you get to come. And you get to come to this open table today so that next week when you're at any table that you are, whether it's a lunchroom table, a break room table, a boardroom table, a card table, that you'll make sure that that table is open to anyone who comes and sits at it with you. We practice here so that we can live it there. So come. Come to this table today where we invite you in. The liturgy we're going to do is the Great Thanksgiving today. You find it on page 13 or projected on the wall, and I invite you into this great prayer of great thanksgiving. I say the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You put us these strange little weird-shaped puzzle pieces, and you said the only way life makes sense is when you start to put it together with everybody else. And so today, God, we are your puzzle, trying to find those ways that we fit into the beauty of your love made manifest. So with all your people on earth, and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Gracious God, everything we need to know about how to live tomorrow, we just practice today. Help us sit at every table this week in a way that is open to all who we would encounter. Help us trust that there is enough for everyone. Help us be patient. Help us be patient with our brothers and sisters who sometimes find themselves at the back of the line. Let us wait. Wait till all are fed. God, thank you for blessing us today in this space. We offer our lives to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's the deal. It's time to call the play. You guys, feed the hungry. Over here, clothe the naked. In the back, welcome the strangers. Over here, do good. Ready? Break.